We welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. We're talking with Assemblyman Frank Bigelow, a Republican who represents District 5 in the Assembly, which covers the Motherlode region. Assemblyman Bigelow, next week I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, energy prices and gas prices. Many people are feeling the pinch at the pump, and I know there's been different proposals floating around Sacramento. I'm curious your thoughts on that issue.
Well, there's no question about it. The price of fuel has just skyrocketed. It seems like yesterday we were paying $3 a gallon, and the price continued to fall, and now we've had a change in direction, and that direction has been less than positive. We're facing not $6, but $7 a gallon in some places in the state. In many places, it's still $5, climbing to $6, but recently I just paid $6.70 for a gallon of diesel, You know, that's a sticker shock when you look at that full tank, because I happened to be on empty that day. That was poor me, but bottom line, it is what it is when you have to fill up. But we did have and do have a member who courageously stepped up, and that was Assemblyman Kevin Kiley, and he introduced an assembly bill called 1638. The purpose of this bill was to take a six-month stay on the gas tax. And now that's a 51-cent a gallon tax that would be alleviated. So if you were at $6 and it was $6.51, you'd only pay $6.50, and you'd have a 51-cent savings. Now this was only proposed for 6 months. Certainly, I know Mr. Kiley, and he would rather have eliminated it as a whole. But he's also a realist. He knows that we have to pay for our roads somehow, so you have to have some level of tax there, but the truth is he only asked for 6 months, and he wasn't being given a chance for this bill to be heard. It was being held in the Rules Committee, and so there was a huge push to try to get this bill brought to the floor, which ensued into a lot of discussion that people have probably heard about and seen, bantering back and forth between argumentative parliamentary procedure points on how to bring this forward, and the bill had just been held, and finally it was given a hearing the other day in the Transportation Committee, where the bill was literally hostilely amended by a member and then supported by the chair and other members of the majority party, and that bill basically was gutted and amended from a tax savings to a full-on tax increase for the people. And obviously Mr. Colley's got to think through what he wants to do, because his bill was amended. And sadly, the author of the amendment, nor the chair, nor any other member of the committee would endorse or become a co-chair or want to take that bill on as the direct author, since it was amended so egregiously. But anyway, now it's his name is still on it, and he has to decide how he wants to proceed with the bill as amended. So when you put that in context with what the governor has now proposed, he originally proposed a $400 per person. That would have been everybody in the state. Doesn't matter who you are, adult, kids, everybody would have got a check for $400. These kind of bannered around now, $400 for each adult that has up to two vehicles could get to a total of $800. If you were a husband and wife, obviously you get four cars, which would have made it $1,600. That is only talking points at this point. No real relief to the people. Had we done this when Mr. Kiley's bill had been first introduced and just done it on an urgency basis, everybody would be saving 51 cents a gallon currently. It would have been an overnight shift. And the backfill for the shortage of funding could have come out of that $60 billion. There wouldn't have been any stoppage on any road projects. Nothing would have changed. We would have just used part of the $60 billion to backfill and cover to make sure that Caltrans and the road departments were still getting their money to do the projects. So that's what's happening in the transportation world. If you want on another one, it's just been one that's been a huge concern to people. We've had literally, I'm going to say, in the hundreds of thousands of calls on a bill called AB 1993, and that dealt with mandating vaccine shots to people. So I just want to just say the author has pulled AB 1993 for the rest of the year. So that bill has been taken off the table, but I hope people will focus on some other bills that deal with in this arena. They're actually saying that bills under a bill called SB 886 would permit minors 12 years or older to consent to vaccinations without the parents' approvals. And I'm just having a real personal problem with that. I think minors at 12 years of age, they need to have adult supervision, and their parents need to help make those decisions for their families.
You know, now that the cases have been going down, are you starting to see a less of an interest to push forward COVID bills at the Capitol?
No, we're not. There's still a plethora of them. I just know that your time is limited, PJ, and it would take probably another show with all of the stuff. I think we're all going to start seeing next week, or it's the week after. I'm losing the sight of that date. Anyway, where people will be able to gather inside buildings without having to show proof of vaccinations. Mask wearing will, I think, be with us for some time. It'll be in the voluntary form. People will strongly suggest that you wear a mask, but it's not, you don't have to if you don't want to. I think that'll be going around. I think there's going to be pushes on the COVID, as we're hearing snippets of some of the, like in the UK, where another strain has erupted. We even had it in a couple of cases in one of the counties here in the state. And so people are watching all of these different variants as they pop up. And as we've all been told, with viruses, typically what occurs is they come on strong, and each time there's a variant, it gets less and less and less severe. So we're just going to have to keep monitoring. And I think for the people out there that are listening, you know, do what you think is best for you and your family, but be mindful. Take the time to research and make yourself aware of the true facts of what's happening, and get as best informed as you can. And things do change. So stay focused on it constantly.
We've got just a couple of minutes left on this weekend show. Anything you'd like to share just about your recent announcement that you're not going to be seeking re-election this year?
Yeah, you know, first of all, my wife and kids are real happy. Mm-hmm. My grandkids are extremely happy to have Grandpa around and spend more time with them. Yeah, you know, for everyone out there, redistricting came about, and it caused a lot of members to take a look. We've had over 30 members either already resign or in the process of resigning or saying that they're not going to run. And I happen to believe that there's no purpose for me to go beat my head against somebody else and have them beat their head against me and beat up in this next race. There's another gentleman that is a seated member, two Republicans, Mr. Patterson, and we're friends. And so, you know, go serve your last term, and I'll come back in 24 and run and again, and hopefully the people will be supportive of me at that time and reelect me at that time to office. But taking 2 years off, gosh, to go back and not have to come drive back and forth and do a lot of the things that I've had to do to stay up to speed and help the people that I represent will give me some time to help build some fences and around the ranch and take care of a few things. I got to tell a real funny on myself. I was working with my son's father-in-law in the shop. We said, we've got to clean it up and make some room for this project we were working on. And he said, hey, what does this go to? I said, oh, my gosh, Gary, I started that project 10 years ago. We're going to stop right now and finish that. And we did. And we had the best of time finishing that project. One thing about COVID, I think, it's taught us how we can do things differently, how we can do things remote, how we can multitask a lot better and do a number of things. But it's also taught us some things that we didn't like, and that was the lack of interaction, especially with our kids, not being able to interact, not being able to go to school and get the true value that they should get from being in school in person. We've learned that we can work from home remotely. We've learned that we can take a little slower pace. And I think that's taught us a lot of things, and I think I'm going to look forward to that for a little while. And it is an adjustment, 'cause we're at a very, very fast pace here in Sacramento.
Well, Assemblyman Bigelow, we always appreciate your time and getting us up to speed on what's happening. Thank you so much for coming on today.
You know, BJ, thank you. But as always, as I close, we are now looking at our slopes and our valleys in the mountains turning brown. People start weed whacking, mowing, cleaning, doing the brushwork that you need to do, everything that you need to protect your lands, because every year is a greater and greater, it seems, fire season. So, one, get that work done. Be careful. Rattlesnakes are out. And third, when the sheriff or the police come out and say, we got to move, you got to go, please do it. Please do it.
Good advice to wrap up on, definitely. Well, we thank Assemblyman Frank Bigelow for being our guest. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.